Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable. Radiation oncologist and cancer researcher Dr. David Palma joins us to discuss his new book, Taking Charge of Cancer. The book offers an insider's guide to understanding and receiving the best treatment options, choosing the right medical team, and approaching this difficult time with knowledge and hope. Taking Charge of Cancer is a different type of book for cancer patients, one that goes beyond the cancer information that is currently available, allowing you to truly take control of your cancer treatment. You'll learn how to obtain and understand medical records and why these records are critical to your care. You'll also be able to evaluate whether surgery, radiation, or chemotherapy make the most sense in your specific case and whether or not these serious treatments are being delivered effectively and safely according to the highest standards. Dr. David Palma is a radiation oncologist and cancer researcher focusing on the treatment of lung, head, and neck, as well as metastatic cancers, and it's a pleasure to welcome him to the program this morning. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate your being here.
Hi, Joe. Thanks for having me.
Again, the name of the book is Taking Charge of Cancer, What You Need to Know to Get the Best Treatment. So at what point along this journey in your career did you think that such a guide was necessary?
That's a great question, and it came as a surprise, to be honest. The reason I wrote the book came about when my best friend was diagnosed with cancer about 3 years ago. And when he was diagnosed, it wasn't the kind of cancer that I treat myself, so I wasn't really an expert in that area, but we took a series of steps together to make sure that he was getting the right tests done and that he was seeing a high-quality cancer team. And once we were done with this, my friend really let me know. He said, you know, Dave, we need a patient guidebook. These steps should be available to everybody, not just people who have an oncologist as their friend.
When it comes to the questions and that idea of taking charge, how do we lose that power? How is that power so often taken care of us so that there is a need to take charge?
I think sometimes the medical system is operating based on principles that were around 30 or 40 or 50 or 60 years ago, even when patients were expected to just go in and get a recommendation and follow that recommendation and to trust whatever that doctor says, which sometimes is fine. But medicine has changed nowadays, and we like to operate, at least most of us do, under a principle of shared decision-making where the patient and the physician come to a decision together. So a lot of patients might not be used to that. But if you think about the fact that if you were to go buy a car, you would go to a dealer and you would ask a ton of questions and you'd look online and check reviews. You'd have so much information before you bought that car. You could even take it for a test drive. But when it comes to cancer care, which is much more important than what kind of car you buy, people aren't used to taking those steps. But I say if we can do it for our cars, why don't we just do it for ourselves?
So why don't we?
Well, I think that's a great question. I think people have felt daunted. So there are a few barriers. One has been that people sometimes assume that any cancer center or any hospital, it's one-stop shopping, that wherever you go for cancer treatment, it's going to be the same. And that's not true. And doctors have known that for a long time. And I'll give you an example of that. Let's look at pancreas cancer. That was unfortunately the type of cancer that took Patrick Swayze's life. But pancreatic cancer is a very lethal cancer. But for some patients, they can have surgery at an attempt for cure. So if you were to go to a surgeon to get your pancreas taken out, and you were to go to a surgeon who does this all the time in the U.S., your chance of dying from that surgery is considered pretty low, around 3 or 4%. And that's a risk that we take in order to have a chance of cure. But if you were to go to a cancer surgeon in the U.S. who does not do that very often, then your chance of dying from the surgery isn't 3 or 4%. It's around 16%. It's a huge change. So there's a big difference in outcomes depending on where you go. So patients probably haven't realized that it really is important to advocate for yourself and make sure that you're getting the best quality care.
In your opinion, and you do write about this in the book, but in your opinion, where do things start to go wrong? Where are the trouble spots that you shine a light on where we start to get into trouble when it comes to getting the best treatment and knowing what the best treatment is?
I think we can start getting into trouble right away. Even at the very first visit with your cancer doctors, we know that a lot of patients aren't absorbing the information that they're being told. And if you're not absorbing the information, then you can't really make good decisions. I'll give you an example about that in a second. But what I tell patients to do is to really go in and to take steps to make sure that they're following all the information in their first visit. And that could include tape recording your conversation with your doctor or bringing in a sidekick with you. But when we ask patients, what is the goal of your cancer treatment? A lot of times patients don't know, but the goals are so important. In some cases, the goals are cure. In some patients, the goal is not for cure, but to slow down the cancer. And in some studies, 3/4 of patients don't even know the goals of their treatment. So it's hard to make good decisions about what kind of treatment you want, whether you want treatment, and how to plan out your life if you don't even know whether this treatment might cure you. So it can go wrong right from the beginning. And some of that is that, you know, we know that it's very hard to absorb information in your visits with your doctors, but also sometimes us doctors, we sort of skirt around these issues and may not use the most direct language. And so some of the blame falls on us. But when you ask when can things go wrong, it's really right from the beginning. So there are steps that people can take to help make sure they're getting the information and understanding it.
That idea of understanding the information, you do write about this extensively in the book, and that because there's the idea of course, the emotion that comes in with such a diagnosis that comes into this is too, and you're sick. But on top of that, this is very technical information, and how that information is told to you and how much sense and how much time you have with the doctor and all of those factors, it makes that idea of understanding the information that much more difficult. So how do you overcome that?
It's very true. It's almost like you're going to a country. I'm sure you've traveled to places where you don't speak the language and people are talking and you have no idea. Much like when I go to my mechanic and he's talking about different things and I really have no idea how the car works and he's telling me that I need to spend this much money on a certain improvement. I really have no idea. But what I tell patients with this book is that you don't need to understand all the jargon and you don't need to understand all about all kinds of cancer. You just need to focus on one kind of cancer and particularly one stage of cancer. So I've had patients come to me who have no medical background who have learned so much about their cancer that they're rivaling the best trained doctors in knowing the newest treatments. So what this book does is it helps patients decipher a lot of the medical reports. So it gives examples of what your medical reports might look like as a patient and how to decipher them. And if there are still questions, I have a series of free online videos that patients can use to help them further. And then the final thing is, if there are still questions, to go to their doctor. But I'll give you an analogy. I'm not a very technical person in terms of machines. And one day my dishwasher was broken, and that would normally need a call to the repairman. And I went online and looked at the manual, found the manual for this dishwasher, and was able to fix it myself. And my wife was totally blown away and surprised and thought that I had lied and actually got the repair person in. But when it's really only one small thing, I only needed to learn about one little problem about one little dishwasher. It's kind of the same kind of thing. We don't expect patients to become doctors, just experts on one small area.
So, and then with that one small area, and we were talking about this in another segment on our program, the one small area, of course, then becomes a patchwork quilt with all of the other doctors that you're seeing and all of the other people that you're seeing and all of the other places that you're going, and keeping all of this straight. And what is true on Wednesday, is that still true next Tuesday? And who oversees the information and who ultimately is in charge? And of course, it's us, but who else? Who else can we rely on? Who can we trust?
Many patients, you're right. Who else? Who is in charge? Many patients ask that. Who is the quarterback of this team? Ideally, there would be one doctor who would do that. Say, listen, I'm the quarterback. Here are the treatments that we're going to do. This is your point of contact with questions. Or here's a patient navigator, which we have in some scenarios for questions. But ultimately, some people might find that that's not always available. And that's why if you have copies of your records and you understand your diagnosis, then you can, as soon as you meet a new doctor, you can tell them, hey, this is what's going on. We know that doctors commonly make mistakes one of the more common situations where doctors make mistakes are when they're covering for another doctor. So when I'm away and another doctor is filling in and seeing my patients, that's a chance of an error because they might not know the full situation. We try to get over that with handover and communication. But what one thing you can learn from this book is when you meet a new doctor, you say, listen, my name is Joe Smith, and I have a lung cancer that's stage 3, and I'm receiving chemotherapy. And you'll understand your situation. They will understand their situation. And that those words, which are a little bit medical, let them know right away what kind of space they need to be thinking in. So the more you know yourself, the more you can help to be the quarterback. And then you can also ask your doctors, who is in charge? When I do have questions, where do I go? What's the contact number? Is there a patient navigator available for me?
You certainly run into this, and you write about it extensively in the book, that so many people have that helpless feeling, and it's natural, obviously, to have that feeling. But you don't really have a long time to get over it, do you?
You have a bit of time, but not a long time. When someone's diagnosed with cancer, there is time to get to know what's going on, to get your records, to understand things. But you don't want to dilly-dally. You don't want to wait 2 or 3 months to make a decision. In some cases, it's an emergency and treatment has to start right away. But most of the time, there are a few weeks while things are getting sorted out. And that's the time to really delve into the situation. But no, you don't want to wait a long, long time before proceeding.
When it comes to the ultimate of where this comes in is to survival, where this comes into getting better, where this comes into the reoccurrence, what do we know about that and how this improves our chances and even at the immediate point of how we're feeling at any given day?
Yeah, let me give you an example of how these kind of questions can improve our chances. I talked about that pancreas surgery thing, where if you go to a surgeon who does it all the time, your chances of surviving the surgery are a lot higher. We see that effect all across cancer, whether it's someone who's getting radiation, someone who's getting chemotherapy. In general, going to a high-volume center where doctors treat your kind of cancer a lot is associated with better outcomes. And if people can take one thing away from this interview, for anybody listening, ask your doctors, let's say you have prostate cancer, are you a high-volume center for treating prostate cancer, or do you only do it occasionally or rarely? That can let you know if there is a benefit to going to a high-volume center. Because if they say no, you say, well, listen, I've heard that high-volume centers are better. Is that true in my specific scenario? But you make a good point, Joe, and that's the day-to-day living with cancer, living after cancer, and the emotions around that. I think when we look at how we treated cancer 10 or 20 years ago, it was all about treat the cancer, treat the cancer, treat the cancer, and worry about everything else later. But now we know that emotions are extremely important. And people who have low mood or depression after treatment or mood issues in general tend to do worse overall in terms of survival. And so what doctors are trying to do now, or many of us at least, are focusing more on those other aspects of life, including mood, social situations, financial situations. Many centers do offer supports for things like that. And after treatment, you can feel like you're lost. Your surgery is done or your radiation is done and you're having some emotional issues. Where do you go? So one thing I tell patients is to ask your doctor at the end of treatment, where do I go for these issues? If I'm having mood issues or financial issues or need someone to talk to. And there are also some resources in the book patients can go to for that kind of help.
The name of the book is Taking Charge of Cancer, What You Need to Know to Get the Best Treatment. The book is published by Harbinger, New Harbinger Publications, and Dr. David Palma is the author. Again, Taking Charge of Cancer. Dr. Palma, thank you very much for sharing your knowledge with us this morning.
And thanks for having me today, Joe. Take care.
Great pleasure. Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.